We present The Left-Handed Sleeper, a serial in five parts by Ted Willis, based on his novel of the same name, with Annette Crosby and Richard Pascoe. Episode 1, Who Goes Home, is introduced by the author.
How do you begin a story? Where do you begin it? I've been a writer for over 30 years, and it's my experience that starting is always the hardest part. Those opening lines, that first page. I wish I had a pound for every time I've sat at home at my desk and tried to get a story on the road. And with the story I want to tell you now, the problem isn't made any easier by the fact that I was involved in a very real and personal way. Two, at least, of the principal characters were my friends and neighbours. One of them still is. I could, I suppose, begin 25 years ago at Cambridge, where the story had its early roots. Or I could start in Czechoslovakia, where as members of a British parliamentary delegation, Mark Ritchie, the MP for a North Kent constituency, and I got to know each other and became friends. But it'd be better, I think, to start in Mark Ritchie's home, on the morning of the day in which this extraordinary drama became a matter of public knowledge and made headlines in the world's press.
Chris? Chris?
Yes? Yes?
Where are my train tickets?
In your pocket. I put them in your inside pocket.
What? Oh, yes.
I've packed your bag. It's in the hall. Now, you got all your papers?
Yes, yes. Oh, damn. You take it. If it's for me, say I've gone for the day. I'll get the car out. And don't be long. I don't want to miss that damn train.
2248. Ah, Mrs. Anderson, I'm afraid you've missed my husband again. He's already left. Yes.
For God's sake, Chris, the time, the time.
I'm sorry. It was that Anderson woman. That's the fourth time she's rung.
Well, what does she want?
Oh, she's in an awful state. The council are going to put a compulsory purchase order on her house. There's something to do with that new slip road.
Well, what the hell does she expect me to do about it? These people, they think I have nothing better to do than...
Mark, you are her MP.
That doesn't make me a general bloody dog's body for... Yes, I know, it does. Mark, dog's body, MP. Look, Chris, call my office. Tell Marion to deal with it.
Well, you tell me what to say. I'll ring Mrs. Anderson.
Chris, please. Marion is my political secretary. She's paid to deal with these things, okay? Okay?
If you say so.
Sorry. Didn't mean to snap.
Oh, I'm getting used to it.
What does that mean?
Oh, Mark. You know. The past couple of weeks you've been like a bear with a sore head and...
Well, what? Go on. Might as well have the rest of the lecture.
It doesn't matter.
And what were you going to say? The usual bit about drinking? Is that it?
In case you hadn't noticed, we're at the station. You'd better run for your train.
Oh, hell. Darling, I'm sorry. I really am. I know I've been a... I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired. Overtired. Look, I'll be back on Wednesday evening. I'll arrange a pair with George Pickford and we'll have an evening out together.
Oh, where have I heard that before? Yes. Yes, I'd like that. Shall I book a table at Luigi's?
Do that. Mustache. I'll call you. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Mm. Oh, I just remembered my dress suit. I'll need it on Friday night.
Well, I've collected from the cleaners today.
Good. Bye. Love you.
Ditto. Bye, darling.
A fairly normal sort of morning conversation between man and wife, you might think. A bit tense in places, but the life of an MP, and of his wife, can be pretty fraught at times. The really odd thing was that from the moment he left the car and entered the station, Mark Ritchie disappeared. Vanished. What I didn't know then, though I was to find out soon enough, was that Mark Ritchie had been under surveillance by the security services for weeks. And his abrupt disappearance created some rather red faces at MI5.
The Anthony Blunt affair continues to dominate the morning's headlines. Following the revelation that Blunt, a self-confessed Soviet spy, was granted immunity from prosecution, an all-party group of MPs have signed a motion calling on the government to make a full statement, including the names of any other people who were involved with him.
Well?
I'm sorry, Mr. Cardwell.
Don't bloody tell me you're sorry, Irvin. You're not paid to be sorry. What happened?
Well, his wife drove him to Bromley South Station. He arrived there at 9:15. He went towards the booking office and then seemed to change his mind. He went to the phone booth and made a call.
Where was the wife?
Oh, she'd gone back home.
How long was Richie on the phone?
A couple of minutes, no more. But when he hung up, he looked pretty shaken. Went out and jumped into a local taxi. Our vehicle was blocked in by some stupid bloody commuter, and he got clean away.
Did you manage to find the cab driver?
Oh, yes, sir.
Congratulations.
He said he drove Richie to South Croydon.
Did he take a train?
Oh, we don't know, sir. Mm. The cab driver saw him enter the station, and that's all we know.
The trains from South Croydon go to the South Coast. Brighton, New Haven.
Our chaps are covering the stations and the ports.
Marvellous. There's nothing like shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted. Cadwell?
All right, Cadwell. Coombs here. Can you come up for a minute?
Oh, right away, sir. Summons from the big white chief. Now listen, Richie's office, in the Harrop building in Victoria Street. Get round there and see what you can find.
Right, sir.
Tea, Cadwell?
Not now, thank you.
Green tea, marvellous stuff. Excellent for the system. I got the habit when I was on station in the Far East. Well, I've informed our Lord and Master, the Home Secretary, about this Richie business. I had no choice. I'm bound to tell you that he takes a very serious view of this slip-up.
We've been playing ring-a-ring-a-roses with Richie for weeks. Why didn't we pull him in while we had the chance?
There are important political considerations involved.
Well, there always are. And suppose we are lucky enough to find him again. Do we arrest him?
The Home Secretary is consulting the PM on that point at this moment.
They're going to do another Blunt, are they?
Cadwell, let me remind you that Richie is not only an MP. He's a prominent political figure. He's been tipped for high office.
All the more reason to nail him.
The question of his arrest, always supposing that your men are fortunate enough to locate him, is a matter for our political masters. You're sure you won't have some tea?
Well, thank you, no.
Tell me, do you think the wife's involved?
I wouldn't know, but my hunch is that she knows nothing.
Oh, come, come. They've been married, what?
8 years.
Exactly. They've been living, eating, sleeping together for 8 years. Do you imagine he could hide it from her for all that time?
I know a man who had 6 mistresses in 15 years, and his wife never knew a thing about it.
We're not talking about that sort of thing. Look, let us assume that Mrs. Ritchie is innocent. Even so, can you believe that in those 8 years she heard and saw nothing suspicious, that Ritchie never once lowered his guard?
Philby didn't, remember? When he finally took off from Moscow, his wife swore that she'd no idea what he'd been up to. And they'd been married 5 or 6 years.
Coombs speaking. Yes, Home Secretary, this is Coombs. Yes, Home Secretary. No, there's no further news. Yes, we have to assume so, I'm afraid. What about the press? Yes, I understand. Of course, naturally. Very good, sir. The wraps are off. When we find Richie, we're to bring him in. Get the necessary warrants, search his office, his home, talk to the wife.
Marvellous. She's going to like that. Afternoon, Mrs. Ritchie. Sorry, but your husband has hopped the twig and run off to Moscow. Poor bitch.
You're making rather a large assumption, aren't you?
Come again?
You're assuming that she's innocent.
Mrs. Ritchie?
Yes.
I'm Detective Chief Superintendent Dell, madam, and this is Mr. Cadwell.
Police? Could I see your...
Warrant card? Of course. Here we are.
Yes. Thank you. What is it you want?
May we come in for a moment, Mrs. Ritchie?
Oh, yes, of course. This way. Please sit down. I'm sorry the place is in a mess. I've been doing a bit of spring cleaning. There's nothing wrong. My husband. Has there been an accident? No. No, it couldn't be that.
Why?
You said you were a detective chief superintendent. No, if Mark had been in an accident, they'd have sent a constable to tell me. A sergeant at most.
Very perceptive.
Where is your husband, Mrs. Ritchie?
In Manchester, at a conference.
Have you heard from him since he left this morning?
No, but then I didn't expect to. He's going to ring about 7. Now, what can I do for you?
First, you can tell me about that wonderful smell. Fresh bread, right? Best smell in the world.
Oh, heavens, I must check the oven. Excuse me.
Nice-looking woman.
Yes.
Of course, you didn't notice.
As a matter of fact, yes, I did. Wait, listen. Your nice-looking woman is making a phone call. May I ask who you're calling, Mrs. Ritchie?
No, you may not. Why should it concern you?
Sorry, but if you're trying to get through to your husband in Manchester, I can save you the cost of the call. He isn't there.
I'll check that for myself, if you don't mind.
Piccadilly Hotel, Manchester?
I'd like to speak to Mr. Ritchie, please. Mr. Mark Ritchie.
One moment, please.
You're wasting your time, Mrs. Ritchie.
I'm sorry, madam. Mr. Ritchie does have a reservation, but he hasn't arrived yet.
Thank you. I don't understand. He had the tickets. I drove him to the local station myself. He was catching a train from Euston, arriving in Manchester in time for lunch. If he'd changed his mind, he would have called me. What's happening? What's going on? Why are you here?
Better check that bread, Mrs. Ritchie. It'd be a pity to have it spoil. And then come back inside and I'll try to explain.
Explain what?
May I use your phone?
Why not? You seem to be taking over here.
I want to speak to Mr. Irvin. Is he there?
One moment. Irvin here.
Cadwell. Anything?
Oh, not yet, sir. I had to wait for his secretary to arrive. She was at the House of Commons collecting Mr. Ritchie's mail.
Right. It's all official now, Irvin. No more kid gloves. Turn the place over. And get what you can from the secretary.
Will do, sir.
Now, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
I've already explained, Miss Brown. This is Detective Constable Green, and my name is Irvin. And from now on, I'll be asking the questions. Take a look round, Green.
Right, sir.
Just one moment, if you please. This is a private office. Do you have a warrant?
Well, do we need one? Have you anything you want to hide?
Of course not, but...
Ah, well, then that's all right. Carry on, Green.
Sir.
Now, Miss Brown, tell me about yourself. Do you still live in Lindwell Road, West Hampstead? Number 23, first floor flat.
Yes. How on earth did you know?
Oh, I'm a bright wee fellow, Miss Brown. You share your flat with a Miss Letitia Parks. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, give me some straight answers and I'll let you go home to your nice flat and your nice friend. How long have you worked with Mr. Ritchie?
6.5 years.
Why does he have an office here? Most MPs have offices in Parliament.
He prefers it here.
More privacy?
Yes.
But more expensive.
Mr. Ritchie has an advisory position with the Toymakers Federation. They pay the rent.
I wish someone would pay mine.
Something here, sir.
What's this, then?
That's Mr. Ritchie's overnight bag. He keeps it here in case he has suddenly to go away.
Sort of a emergency kit?
Yes, sort of.
How often does he use it?
He hasn't actually used it. He came in about a month ago and told me to lock it in a cupboard.
Were you surprised?
No. He often goes away quite suddenly.
Well, so suddenly that he wouldn't have time to go home and pack.
Sometimes. Rarely, but sometimes.
He's a careful man, Mr. Ritchie. Where are the keys?
Mr. Ritchie keeps them.
Ah, pity. It's a nice new case, but still, there's nothing else for it.
What are you doing?
I have an inquisitive nature. I want to see what's inside. Now, what have we here? Shirts, underclothes, one suit, tie, socks, shoes, pajamas. All brand new by the look of them.
Some cash here, sir, in the toilet bag. Quite a lot. American dollars, West German marks.
Well, let me see. It's a hell of a lot. Now, what do you make of that, Miss Brown, eh?
I don't know.
You've been Richie's secretary for 6.5 years. Don't tell me you don't know. Talk, Miss Brown.
And it was more or less at this point that I stumbled into the story. I was in the House of Lords that afternoon, and I decided to go down to the Commons to look for Mark Ritchie. I wanted to enlist his support for a bill that I was promoting.
Lord Willis?
Yes?
I'm sorry, my lord. Mr. Ritchie is not in the House. He's not expected in today.
Thank you. I wasn't surprised by his absence. Apart from being an MP, Mark was a sort of political advisor to various organisations, and these duties took him away quite often. But the Ritchies lived in Bickley, 5 minutes' drive from my home in Chislehurst, so I decided to call in on my way back.
Yes?
Is Mrs. Ritchie in?
I'm afraid that Mrs. Ritchie is not able to speak with you at the moment.
Mrs. Ritchie is quite able to speak, thank you very much. Ted, come in. You're very welcome. You're very welcome indeed.
One moment, please.
Lord Willis is a neighbour and a good friend. This is my home and he is my guest. Now, do you mind?
Any objection?
I suppose not.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
All right, Miss Brown. Away home with you.
I've no intention of leaving you in this office.
Go home. Go straight home and stay there. Understood? We'll contact you.
Oh, very well.
Oh, Miss Brown, 1 minute. Did your Mr. Ritchie have a girlfriend? No. Don't look so shocked, dear. It's not unknown. He had a weekend case already and some spare cash. I mean, did he have a wee bit of crackling on the side?
Mr. Ritchie is not like that.
How do you know?
I know. I know him.
Ah, but he wouldn't tell you all the details of his private life, would he? Unless, Oh, yes, of course.
What do you mean?
Well, you wouldn't be the first secretary to oblige her boss.
How dare you?
Okay, I withdraw, but, what makes you so certain he isn't playing around?
I told you, I know him. Mr. Ritchie is a married man.
Oh, that makes a difference, does it?
You don't understand. He's a fine person. He has principles. He's a man of principles.
I am sure. Well, now, away you go. I expect Mr. Cadwall will want to talk to you, so don't run away, will you?
Mr. Cadwall?
My boss. He'll want the truth, you know. He won't be easygoing like me.
I told you.
Oh, you've told me nothing. You've lied to me, if only by omission. I mean, for example, why does Mr. Ritchie drink so heavily? You didn't mention that, did you?
He's under great pressure. He likes a drink. He's not a drunk.
But you didn't mention it, did you, darling? Oh, what else did you leave out? All you've given me so far is a bloody election address. The gospel according to St. Mark Ritchie. Well, we want more than that. Go home and think about it, and think very hard for your own sake. Bye for the present.
Stone me, you were pushing it a bit there, weren't you, sir? To suggest she was having it away with Ritchie? My mind boggles.
Well, why not? One of our diplomats in Moscow was seduced by a 6-foot Soviet interpreter weighing 16 stone.
Did he like it?
Well, according to the photographs, yes. He kept going back for more.
Somehow, I don't think Miss Brown is turned on by the fellas.
No? She's in love with Ritchie. I'll tell you that for nothing. Given the chance, the poor coward. Lie down and let him use her for a doormat.
Say when.
When? Thanks, Chris. I'm drinking alone, am I? Well, cheers.
I'd like you to leave as soon as you've finished your drink, sir. We have to speak to Mrs. Ritchie on a private matter.
Is that an order or a request?
Take it whichever way you like, sir, as long as you leave.
I want Lord Willis to stay as a witness.
That won't be necessary.
I'll decide that when you tell me why you are here.
In that case, perhaps you'd prefer to come to Bromley Police Station. We can...
No, I don't think we need to be quite so formal, Chief Superintendent. In fact, Lord Willis may be able to help. Lord Willis, you are a friend of Mr. Ritchie, I believe?
Of Mr. and Mrs. Ritchie, yes.
You went on a parliamentary delegation to Czechoslovakia with him about 4 years ago?
That's correct.
Was that when you first got to know him?
We became friends, and I do live nearby. So after Czechoslovakia, we began to see quite a bit of each other.
You lunched with him at the Garrick Club last Tuesday?
That's right. How the devil did you...
What was the state of his mind on that occasion?
Now, just one moment. How did you know that I was at the club with Mark?
Oh, we make it our business to find out about these things. Nothing to be alarmed about.
You may not think so, but I do. Have you been following me, checking on me? I'd like an explanation.
And so would I. You have been here over 2 hours. You've practically taken over the house. And I'm still none the wiser.
Very well. Perhaps I'd better begin by explaining who we are exactly.
That would be a great help.
Mr. Dale is not what you might call an ordinary policeman. He's from Special Branch. You know what that means, Mrs. Ritchie?
Yes, yes, of course.
For my sins, I'm a representative of the British Intelligence Service. And Mrs. Ritchie, some few months ago, we came into possession of information which indicates that your husband has been guilty of espionage on behalf of a foreign power.
That's ridiculous. What are you saying?
That your husband is a spy, Mrs. Ritchie. I'm afraid it's true. We have proof.
I don't care what you have. It isn't true.
Do you recall reading, about 6 months ago, that a Soviet spy ring had been uncovered in America and its ringleaders arrested?
I'm not interested in spy stories.
The FBI were tipped off by a colonel in the Soviet Intelligence Service, the KGB. Among other things, this colonel revealed that a similar spy ring was operating in Britain. From the information he gave the FBI, we were able to identify one man in the British ring. Your husband. Your husband, Mrs. Ritchie.
No, it's ridiculous. I know, Mark. I'm his wife. If you knew him, you'd realize that he isn't capable of doing what you've said. It isn't possible. It just isn't possible.
Then why has he disappeared?
That's a very dramatic way of putting it. He's been gone a few hours.
Wait. Here. Mark's passport. See for yourself. Is it all in order? If he did intend to disappear, as you put it, why did he leave this behind? And why did he ask me to collect his dinner suit from the cleaners so that he could wear it on Friday? And ask me to book a table for dinner on Wednesday? You see? You've got it all wrong. He'll probably ring me at any moment to explain everything.
I don't think so, Mrs. Ritchie. For a start, he probably has another passport. In another name.
But this is nonsense. Utter nonsense. I'd be very careful if I were you. My husband does just happen to be a member of Parliament. I shouldn't overlook that if I were you. He has friends. Important friends.
I don't doubt it, Mrs. Ritchie.
Parliament still runs this country, not the secret police. I'm going to the telephone now, this moment, and call the Home Secretary. He happens to be a personal friend. Then we'll see.
I shouldn't do that if I were you, Mrs. Ritchie. You might find it embarrassing. You see, the Home Secretary has been kept fully informed, and everything we've done has been with his full authority.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm sorry it had to be like this.
Sorry? You're sorry?
Now, I must warn you, Mrs. Ritchie, this is a serious business. It's a very serious business indeed. And we shall need and expect your full cooperation. Have you any idea where your husband may have gone?
No, I have not. And if I had, I certainly would not tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have now landed at Tangier Airport. Would you kindly remain in your seats and keep your seat belts fastened until the aircraft comes to a complete halt at the terminal building? Thank you for flying Air France. We hope you have enjoyed your flight and look forward to having the pleasure of your company in the future. Mesdames et messieurs, nous venons d'atterrir à Tangier. Nous demandons aux passagers de bien vouloir rester assis jusqu'à l'arrêt complet des réacteurs.
Cabon.
Coombs, our man has been spotted.
Where?
Tangier.
Tangier? Bloody hell. You sure?
One of our chaps was doing a routine check at the airport. Richie flew in on an Air France flight from Paris. He travelled on a French passport under the name of Monsieur Henri Lacan.
Good God.
Anything new?
Odd. Very odd. Richie's in Tangier.
Tangier? Well, it doesn't make sense. Why didn't he make for East Germany or Prague?
I don't know. I think he must have panicked. My hunch is that he had every intention of going to Manchester today and of coming back. But something scared him.
The phone call he made at the station?
Could be. Someone must have warned him that we were closing in, and he decided to cut and run.
That still doesn't explain why he landed up in Tangier.
Unless... Suppose Richie's on the run, not only from us, but from the other lot as well. From the KGB. Perhaps he's been trying to get off the hook and they didn't like it.
If you're right, then God help him. Tangier. They'll pick him off like a clay pigeon.
That was the first episode of The Left-Handed Sleeper by Ted Willis. Christine Ritchie was played by Annette Crosby, Patrick Cadwall by Richard Pascoe, and Lord Willis by himself. Mark Ritchie, Christopher Schooler. The radio announcer, Astley Jones. Detective Sergeant Irvin, James Carey. Mr. Coombs, Hugh Dixon. Detective Chief Superintendent Dell, David Dacre. The telephone operator and the stewardess, Rosalind Adams. Marion Brown, Thelma Whiteley, and Detective Constable Green, Simon Hewitt. The Left-Handed Sleeper is directed by Christopher Venning.